Forward in Faith. It's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loran Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us now as Loran gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. And now, here's Loran Livingston.
God just raptured him. But before he was caught away, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That was his whole life. That's what he got up every morning to do, please God. He didn't think, how many more sheep can I get? How can I make it through this day with profit at the end? He got up saying, how can I please God today? If you read Paul's writings, 2 Corinthians, when he's again talking about wanting to go home to be with the Lord and yet needing to stay on earth, he said, but wherever I am, my aim is to please the Lord. That's what I'm aiming at. I'm not looking in all different directions. I get up with one thing on my mind every day, and that is to please the Lord. Then you come back to Enoch's passage. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, the words that the Holy Spirit puts in these passages remind us that there is no room for passivity in our Christianity. If you're going to know the Lord, you have to diligently seek the Lord. And let me tell you, you can't seek him till you find him. Now, I didn't get it backwards. You can't seek him until you find him. He finds you, he opens you up, he gives you understanding, and then you are to become obsessed with him to the point that you diligently seek him. Do you hear me today? I can't be what I was last week or the month before or the year before. Something's blistering my soul. And I feel this urgency as a pastor to call this church to a daily life of personal holiness, subjection, submission, and sacrifice to God Almighty. I feel it down in my soul. And it's come time for people who sit under this ministry to understand just coming to church won't cut it. And just occasionally having devotions won't get it. You can do those things and still be walking in the flesh, in sin, in disobedience. And you can read enough and pray enough to soothe your soul about your disobedience and your sin. If you remember that woman caught in adultery, in the very act, how many sermons have been preached on that? When Jesus got up, after he had written on the dirt or in the dirt, and all of her accusers were gone, after he said, he that is without sin, let him throw the first rock. Beginning from the eldest to the youngest, they all just faded away. And when Jesus looked up, he said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn you, but it doesn't stop there. Go and sin no more. Do not return to the life you were living. At this moment, at this exact time, I'm telling you, I forgive you, but now you need to walk in a way that tells me you believe it and live in a way that tells people it happened to you. You cannot expect my forgiveness to be your comfort if you go back to the lifestyle you were living. Well, I've heard just recently of people who've attended this church. Yeah, I'm just going to be a preacher, and you can think I'm mad if you want to. I don't care. It's what I'm here to do. They will tell you right now. They will tell you to your face, nose to nose, I'm as close to God as I've ever been. There's nothing wrong in my life. And they are sleeping with other people, and they are doing drugs and alcohol, and they will tell you. They will tell you that their life is just what it ought to be. There's something wrong in the body of Christ, or something wrong in pulpits, or something wrong in somebody's understanding in the church these days, because the church ought not to be full of church folk who talk it but don't walk it, who speak it but don't live it. There has to be a time when you put off the old man and put on the new man, which has been renewed in righteousness. Those that know Christ walk in Christ. And the Bible speaks very carefully. We are debtors to God. Debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Because if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you mortify, kill, crucify the deeds of the flesh according to the Spirit, you will live. And that was an admonition to brethren that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen, the idea that once saved, always saved, and I truly believe it, can become a crutch and an excuse for some people to continue living in their wayward attitudes and vicious sins. Now, I know that you won't hear this from a lot of preachers today, and that's okay. There are plenty out there. All you got to do is Google them, and you can go find you one that will tell you what a saint you are, what an angel you are, and it doesn't matter how you live. But the Bible I've been reading since I was a little boy said that there's a time you crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof and present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what the Bible says. Jesus healed a man one day on the Sabbath. And when he healed him, he kind of disappeared from the crowd. And the man, so delighted that God had healed him, or somebody, he wasn't really sure, went to the temple. Amazingly, Jesus went after him. And the Bible says, found him in the temple. What do you think Jesus said to him? A healed man, because he healed him, who was in the temple. He said, look at yourself. You've been made well. Now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Is that what you say to a man that's rejoicing and runs straight to church? But Jesus did it. And he said, I repeat, you've been made well. Now, stop living the way you were living. Because something worse can come upon you. What does that mean? Something worse may come upon you if you don't change your life. I truly believe that church pews are full of people who talk like Christians but have never been saved. I do. I do. And I believe pews are full of people who think they are saved. but have never been born again. So what would that scripture have to do with this? Stop living the way you were living because a worse thing may come upon you. Jesus taught several times, especially to Israel, especially to the Pharisees, about the danger, the tragedy of self-reformation, trying to save yourself, trying to do things that appear to be God-pleasing things, but never having a change of heart. And so he brings up this little teaching that frightens a lot of people in Luke chapter 11, verse 44. When an unclean spirit, there it is, verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he, the spirit, goes through dry places or arid places or dead places. You see, demons don't want to live in a tree stump. And demons don't live in carcasses. They want living, breathing bodies pumping red blood, and the bodies are 90% water. So for whatever reason, that spirit left. He went out, and it was nothing but dry stuff. So finding none, he says, I will return to my house. My house. From which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Now, old Brother King James said swept and garnished. Now, if you think about a garnish, it's a decoration. Right? Women, when they cook, like to put garnishes. Go to a restaurant, there's a garnish. Don't eat it. It's for looks only, according to my taste. It makes it look pretty. It's a presentation. So when this evil spirit, for whatever reason, leaves this particular man, he goes out and says, I was much happier back there than that fella. So he goes back, and when he comes back, he says, now this fella's tried to straighten up. He's put things in order. He's garnished his life. He started going to church. He's in a Bible study. He works with men of Acts. How busy he is. But it's empty on the inside. It's garnished. It's pretty on the outside. But he's not fooling me. Because I can see emptiness. I can see a hollowness. There's a hole in his life. Because he didn't fill it up with something else. Hallelujah. You better hear me today. And there's only one other thing you can fill it up with, and that's God. God's word. God's works. Holy Spirit. Truth. That's the only thing you can fill up the hole in your heart with. You can say, I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm not going to do drugs anymore. I'm done with liquor. I'm done with women. I'm done. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I'm done. I'm on the straight and narrow. I'm going to sit on the front row. I'm going to go to a church. I'll find it. And nobody knows me, but I'm going to the front row like I've always been there. And I'm going to raise my hands. And when the preacher preaches, even though he doesn't know me, when he says something I like, I'm going to say, hey, preach it, brother. Hey, preach it, brother. But instead of filling his life with the word rather than his head, instead of praying that you may be able to overcome these things, instead of pushing it out and walking away, instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just filled with good intentions and you look good. And at the right time when the devil decides, I think I'll go back, Jesus said, it's like he goes and gets seven other devils worse than he is, and they come back, and the last state of that man was worse than the first. Meaning, you can fake it for only so long. And then you're going to break down, and whatever sin you were in, you're going to triple it. And whatever iniquity you enjoyed, you're going to go crazy the next time. Each time you get worse, each time you get farther, each time you get more sinful. That's the danger of trying to straighten up your own life. But I came to tell somebody that there is a power greater than your own will. There is a spirit mightier than your own mind. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes in, and when you diligently seek him and fight the good fight of faith, when the devil comes back, he'll find on the door, you are not welcome. The address is changed. The occupant is God himself. So, remember, I don't know why this sticks with me so clearly. 10 years we fought in Vietnam. 10 years. 65 to 75, essentially. 60,000 lives lost. We watched it on the news every night. We had friends killed in Vietnam. Church buddies killed in Vietnam. The day after the United States pulled out of Hanoi, the communists took over. The day after. After 10 years. The day after. The communists raised the communist flag over Hanoi. Wow. See, we thought if we went to Iraq and drove the bad boys out and then trained the Iraqi army, then we could leave, and when the terrorists came back, the Iraqi army would stand up against them. We did not take into account that the Iraqi army had no heart. And so what happens? The United States pulls out, and who's moving in? Terrorists. And they seem to be, if you can believe everything you hear, taking one town after another, one city after another. The most disturbing thing I've heard this week about that was that they had surrounded a mountain, and 100,000 innocent civilians, mostly Christians, were now stranded on the mountain with no food and no water, no protection from the elements. Children are dying left and right, and they won't let them off the mountain till they renounce their Christian faith and declare that God, or Allah, is God and Muhammad is his prophet. And they are wantonly, recklessly, demonically raping, decapitating, human beings. Why? Because if you don't fill up the hole with something stronger than the enemy, it's just a matter of time before the enemy stakes its claim closer, 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 closer. And our men and women over there wanted to fight. Still do. But if you play games with your soul, if you become political with people, there's no good end to this, except that people die and evil wins. Did you hear what I'm telling you? You see, there are Christians who think that because they are busy, garnished, doing things in the right order, they're safe. But I want to say it again, and I don't know how to preach the way I feel it. If you don't get down to business with God, if you don't quit running from church to church, and then when you find one you like, you stay for 6 or 8 weeks at the most, and then you decide you don't like something there. If you don't stop following 5 or 6 or 7 preachers, if you don't get down to business and have a prayer life, if you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, if you don't read God's word like it's the last piece of bread you'll ever eat in your life, and if you don't get busy doing some good works for God, there's an encroachment taking place in your life. Inch by inch, your convictions diminish. You used to be against this, but now, you know, it's okay. I don't know. I'll be all right. And the devil moves in a little closer. Well, you know, maybe I was too strong in that area anyway. Maybe it doesn't matter. And the devil moves a little closer. Well, I don't know if I believe what I used to about that anymore because I'm free in Christ. And the devil moves a little closer. Before you know it, nothing stings your conscience anymore. You can call yourself a Christian and be committing fornication. You can be having babies out of wedlock and say, you know, that's all right. God understands. This is a blessed child. Why, you can just do all kinds of things thinking, well, I don't feel conviction. That's because there's not enough Holy Spirit allowed in your life to create conviction in your life. Throw up 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I must hurry. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. You hear what he's saying? You ought to pretend that there's only one person going to make it, and you're going to be it. I just cannot get anybody to help me preach this morning. You ought to pretend and you ought to act in your walk with Jesus like only one person in this whole group can make it to heaven. And you're going to be it. You're going to run. Keep going. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. You see that? That's called self-control. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, here's what Paul said. I run thus, not with uncertainty. I know where I'm headed. I know what I'm doing. I know the dangers if I don't. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I make every punch count. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He said, I'm not playing, I'm running, I'm fighting. I got a made-up mind because I don't want to do all the right things and then personally be disqualified. People say, well, what does that word disqualify mean? Does it mean you're not going to heaven, or does it mean you won't get a reward? Folks, it's not good either way. Whatever it is, Paul said, I don't want it to happen to me. So I'm going to run, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to be aggressive, and I'm going to be diligent every day of my life because I aim to please the Lord.
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. In requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard the broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Or you may order through our toll-free number, 1-800-251-4024. Again, that number is 1-800-251-4024. Forward in Faith is a listener-supported broadcast. Please send your contributions to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320.